This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We'll call Senate Education to order this morning. Thanks for your attendance. I notice there's some South Dakota State fans in the audience today. So it's nice of you to be here and show your spirit. Senator Heinert's not here because your bus was blocking his parking spot. So he'll come up at some point, I imagine. Thanks for allowing me the tardy time. I had the opportunity to spend a few minutes with Pierce Finest this morning, explaining to them what Car A did to Car B, which will provide some boost to the local economy, at least in the auto body repair industry. So all about economic opportunity here in the state capitol. No one hurt, which is the great news. We will roll call first and then proceed with business. Non-Rachel, if you would call our names, please.
Senator Boland.
Here.
Heinert, excused. Smith.
Here.
Steinauer.
Here.
Tobin, excused. Shane Fish.
Here.
Curd.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have five present.
That is a quorum, and I call Doug non-Rachel because when he was absent, we had non-Doug, who was Rachel. So I figure we return the favor. We're equal opportunity offender here for all of us. First item of business will be to review the minutes from Tuesday's meeting. I'll take a motion to approve the minutes by Senator Smith and seconded by Senator Steinauer. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, voice your support by aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Okay, the minutes are approved. Second item of business will be to approve our agenda through a technical glitch or my technical incompetence. We did not get the agenda posted in time, although it is on the internet. It was late. So in order for us to take up any items today other than just sitting around and staring at each other, we have to have two-thirds of the committee approve the agenda. We have enough people here to do that. So Senate Bill 167, that is number two on the list this morning in front of you, has been requested to be moved into next week. So we'll have one item to entertain, and should the committee find favor, we will proceed with Senate Bill 154 on today's agenda. So I'd entertain a motion to put that on the agenda for today by Senator Boland and seconded by Senator Steinauer. All in favor of the agenda?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, the agenda is approved. Little housekeeping for those of you that have never visited us. If you have on your person, and some of you seem to have mobile phones, it's getting more and more popular to have one of those. Make sure it's silenced, if you would. If you have an iPad, iPhone, Samsung, Galaxy, BJ, what else is out there? Nokia, Motorola. Anything that makes a noise, beep, bell, or whistle, if you'd make sure that it's quiet now, it just helps not disturb the committee. We do penalize for disturbance, and Senator Boland is taking those donations in Bitcoin for the teacher's retirement fund. It's a decreasing return now, so it's up to 2 Bitcoin, I think, now for a violation. Isn't that right? It was 1, but with the decline in value, it's now only 2 Bitcoin. So it's a steep fine. Or saying you're sorry. I'll have to pick. Reminder that if you are appearing before the committee to testify in any matter of importance, which will be only one this morning, make sure that you sign our testifier sheet in the back, who you are, where you're from, legibly, so we can record it for the record. Also lets us get back in touch with you should questions arise after the fact. Please register also if you're going to testify or not, and yes or no on the question at hand. If you are appearing before the committee on behalf of anyone other than yourself, when you address the committee, you need to be appropriately identified and registered through the Secretary of State's office. If you have not had a chance to do that, please let us know so we don't violate that process, and we will help you get down to see Mr. Barnett and get that item of business taken care of. If you have items to distribute to the committee, that will come from one of our pages who are just finishing their first week. Is that right? And we ask them to come up and say hello. They're tired of doing that by now because they do it every committee, but they have a whole bunch of new faces every time. So how about you go first? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and remind us where you're headed.
I'm Brianna Roth. I'm from Redfield, go to Redfield High School, and next year I will be attending Morningside University.
Thank you.
I'm Taylor Wetz. I'm from Miller. I go to Miller High School, and I'm going to be attending USD.
Wow. Apparently there's some supportive... Well, there's all your people right there, so get some notes to start studying early. Reminder that if there are questions that come up in the question and answer session, direct those please through the chair. Helps provide for a decorum and to make sure that the questions are addressed appropriately. Answers through chair also, should any arise. Any housekeeping rules I'm missing?
I think that covers it.
Does it? So the first item and only item on the agenda. So our goal here is to stretch this out as long as possible so that we interfere with Klum's next committee hearing so it starts late, because he's very interested in starting at 9:45. So we're going to try and talk for at least an hour and 50 minutes on 154 as a little gift for the weekend for him. Senate Bill 154 is an act to revise criteria for the South Dakota Freedom Scholarship. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 154. Senator Breiling, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee. As you said, Senator Breitling, District 23, I have the honor of presenting Senate Bill 154 today. Senate Bill 154 addresses updates to the recommended from the South Dakota Freedom Scholarship Board. The goal of this bill is to provide more access to students, creating expanded eligibility for them to have more resources to enter college and graduate, providing South Dakota with an expanded and educated workforce. All of the changes on page one are really style and form changes. The last line adds that the applicant is an undergraduate, full-time degree-seeking South Dakota resident. Section 2, sub 2, specifies that the student attends an eligible institution in pursuit of a baccalaureate degree. Section 2, sub 5, that's really the probably the heart of the bill. It changes the student maintaining a 2.5 to a 2.0 GPA while enrolled. The students that this scholarship is targeting are all needs-based students. And so most will have jobs while they're at school and while they're attending college. As stated, the scholarship is designed for those kids who may not get all of the academic scholarships due to a variety of backgrounds, but they're also first or early generation college students. And our goal is to help them provide that education, be sustainable during that education so that they can further their career goals. Section 2, sub 6 combines with 7 to specify that students can receive the scholarship for 5 years. And again, if they fail, then the board can convert those scholarships into interest-bearing loans. And then Section 3 describes eligible institutions and removes the associated nonprofit to receive award scholarships. There are some very highly skilled and technical folks behind me that can answer a lot more of the questions, but I wanted to get Senate Bill off the ground this morning. I appreciate your support for Senate Bill 54 and advancing the South Dakota Freedom Scholarship. I'll be around for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents? 154. Mr. Kinnicky. Good morning. Hey, wait a minute. Can you turn around and show everyone your tie colors? Would that be all right?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee. Go Jacks. Welcome to the USD folks in the crowd. It's always good to have people from higher education up here. Brett Kinnicky, I'm a resident of Custer. I have an office in Pierre, a lawyer, and I'm thrilled to be general counsel of the South Dakota Community Foundation. What does that have to do with this bill? Was in on the ground floor of the Build Dakota Scholarship Program as a result of being with the South Dakota Community Foundation. As that program has evolved, a substantial amount of that experience has landed at Community Foundation, and it's Community Foundation is kind of the home base for that program. And when Opportunity Scholarships or Freedom Scholarship came along, the same situation has arisen. And so I'm here supporting and discussing Senate Bill 154 in that role. Community Foundation, lawyer and lobbyist, and on behalf of the Freedom Scholarship Board. The board was appointed, I think, last November, has met a few times, has appointed a university council to get advice from the 13 institutions that we need to work with in order to further those goals. And some of that feedback is represented in Senate Bill 154. I appreciate Senator Breitling's introduction very much. As he said, that a lot of this is boilerplate. I do want to focus on page 1, lines 17 and 18. We want to make clear that we're talking about full-time degree-seeking South Dakota residents, and it made sense to the board to tie the allocations of the earnings from the scholarship fund to those numbers. That makes sense to them to tie that together, because that's the pool that the Freedom Scholarship is to assist and help. So let's tie the allocations to those actual pools of students that are currently seeking education at those 13 institutions. That's the purpose of that change. We wanted to change on line 24 to be in pursuit of a baccalaureate degree. There are people attending institutions that are not in considered to be in that pursuit, and so we wanted to clarify that. But let's get to the big one on line 5 on page 2. The University Council felt very strongly that they would be able to do more to forward the goals of the Freedom Scholarship if that 2.5 grade point average was lowered to 2.0. That's their requirement to graduate. And as I've thought about this in my own mind, the Build Dakota Scholarship Program was designed to entice students into a career path through the technical colleges. And I would have to say that this program is designed to get people across the finish line. If you've started and run into financial difficulties, we want to get you across the finish line. If you're a junior, fifth semester junior, your GPA might be pretty well baked by that point. It might be such that you can't change and move that number, but still we want to be able to get those kids across the finish line and get a degree in their hands and get them out in the workforce. So we do feel pretty strongly about that one. And as I've shared with a number of you, that's the kind of academic conversation nobody wants to have at my house with me. That was hard for me to look at and swallow initially. But as I heard the argument, I get that. That makes sense to me. We're trying to get people across the finish line. Let's not pick and choose winners based on those numbers. Some of the changes that you see, like we took out line 6 and moved that further down in the bill. Eligible graduates from an eligible institution, that just didn't fit. Your eligibility is prior to your graduation, and then having a graduation requirement, that's antecedent, and so we've changed that around. Last thing I'll point out is the very last section 3 and the subsection 3 of that. We're finding that most universities don't have an associated nonprofit entity. USD and SDSU have foundations, and a number of the other institutions don't have anything like that. And in cases where the universities do, oftentimes that institution wants a cut, some number of basis points to handle that check, to transfer it to the financial aid office. All of the institutions we're talking about are already not-for-profit and can take a check directly from the Community Foundation as it's directed by the Freedom Scholarship Board. We don't need that part. It raises costs, and we'd like to take that out of the code. It's a requirement as it sits right now, and we don't think it has any value and, in fact, is a detraction from the value of the program. I've got with me Stephanie Judson and Ellie Harder from the Community Foundation this morning, and we'd be glad to answer questions, but we'd sure like your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 154. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents for Senate Bill 154? Dr. Maher, welcome back. You know what we're calling that chair now? That is the Senator Maher Memorial Board of Regents Funding Chair. So
that'll go over well at our family reunion.
Yeah.
We're no relation, by the way, just for the record.
I know. But that's still the chair's name. So.
Okay. Good. Well, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Brian Maher. I'm the Executive Director and CEO of the South Dakota Board of Regents. Really here this morning just to say two things. Number one, thank you. Thank you for the work that you did last year to see the benefit and the wisdom in a needs-based scholarship, something that our state has needed for a long, long time. So to you and to the rest of the legislative body, a belated thank you. And the second thing I'd like to say to this committee this morning is the Board of Regents stands in support of the work that it has been done and is outlined in Senate Bill 154. We know with the sizable allocation and the complexity that goes along with the distribution of those funds, certain criteria need to be put in place. And while we don't know that we have a finished product yet at this point, we're certainly supportive of the product that is in front of you in the form of Senate Bill 54. We would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent, Senate Bill 154. We got a lot of time to fill here with no other proponents. We're going to start asking people in the audience questions in their career field here pretty quick. You're ready for that? Okay. Anyone? There's no one online, I don't think, this morning, right, Cage? We're good to go. Anna, there's no one online. Anyone that would like to appear in opposition to scholarship funding in general on Senate Bill 154? If not, are there committee questions on Senate Bill 154? Senator Bolin.
Thank you. A question for Mr. Kaneki.
Welcome back, sir. Senator Bolin, your question, please.
Okay. My question relates to first page, line 23. Is a state resident for at least 1 year prior to application for the scholarship. How do you determine residency? And let me just give you a little bit of a lead-in for this. I represent an area right along the Iowa border. And there are students and people who live, who I represent, who have children. They physically reside in South Dakota, but they pay taxes in South Dakota, but they attend school at the Akron Westfield High School, just across the river in Iowa. And I'll just say at various times, not so much for the Board of Regents, but there's been questions about this whole arrangement. The fact that they are attending school, a South Dakota resident attending school, a public school in Iowa, would that have any impact on their ability to receive this scholarship?
So a border community where the students attend a school in a district that is governed by another state, but their physical residence is within the borders of South Dakota. Would
right.
that be accurate?
Although I would also like to say, although their physical residence is within the borders of South Dakota, they actually have if you listed their address, it says Akron, Iowa, such and such an address, Iowa. So there in South Dakota, there are people with Iowa addresses who live but who actually reside within the boundaries of the state. And this has been an issue that I have dealt with with constituents in the past and on a variety of subjects. And that's my question in regards to residency here, because I want these folks protected in this process. Thank you.
Wow. So people that don't know really where they live. Not sure if they should be a Hawkeye, Cyclone, Coyote, or a Jackrabbit. VJ, how do you reconcile that?
It's a tough life.
Yeah. All right.
I typically say thank you, Senator, for the question. I'm not feeling particularly grateful about that one. Brett Kaneki again for Community Foundation, Freedom Scholarship. Residency is has different contexts. It has different rules which apply. I'm sitting here thinking to myself that you in your own question answered it when you said they're a South Dakota resident who happens to be attending a high school that's across the border. That you said that in your question a couple of times. And I feel like that's the answer. One of the things that came to my mind is that what's their driver's license say? They get a South Dakota driver's license, I bet. It might say Akron, Iowa, but I bet their driver's license says South Dakota.
Mr. Chair, I believe that's accurate, but I just wanted to – that's why I'm bringing this up, because I want to make sure on this issue.
My thinking on this as I sit here is that the only thing that would lead us to a different conclusion is that they go to high school elsewhere, and I'm guessing that there are written agreements in place and understandings between the school districts that allow for that to be the case.
And, Mr. Chair, there are, yes.
And the last thing I'd say is you've raised that up to our attention, and I know Ellie and Stephanie well enough to know that they've made mental notes on that already, and nobody from Akron-Westfield is going to be treated unfairly as a result. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Further questions from the committee regarding Senate Bill 154? Senator Steiner?
Mr. Chair, since you're giving us lots of time to talk today, here's a question. Is the movement in 2.5 to 2 point grade point average, what do you anticipate that'll do in the demand and use of the funds?
Sir.
Thank you for the question again, Brett Kennecke. Senator, I don't think we have a handle on that yet, as we're in the infancy of the program. Allocation letters got sent out for the fall 2022 funding, I think, week before last. So we are in the infancy of the program. I will share with you that the Build Dakota program went through iterations, and we frequently discussed what the differences were between cohorts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And the changes that we made as we started to adapt. Some of the changes in this bill are designed to allow us to track numbers, to find trends, and to do better over the course of time. And that's something that Mr. Dykhouse is very interested in and is going to see to it that we do that going forward. All I can say is what I was told, and that was the universities that have to make this work told us we can do more for you if you make that change.
Terrific. Any other questions? Follow up? No? Anyone else? Questions? Senate Bill 154. Committee discussion action on Senate Bill 154. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass Senate Bill 154.
Second.
Senator Smith's motion is that Senate Bill 154 do pass. Seconded by Senator Boland. Comments on your motion, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, early March last year, when it was a great day. I got my first shot for COVID in Brookings, and I didn't care how dizzy I felt. I'd come back to Pierre because it was an extreme honor to be able to vote for the Freedom Scholarships. And as I explained to the people on the floor that day, when we are in rocking chairs many years from now, think about the hundreds of votes that you take. That is going to be the proudest of all. Realizing the impact that it's going to make on young people that we will never know. And, you know, buildings go up, buildings come down, trees grow, trees come down. Very few things in life are permanent, but that one's going to be. It's going to be here long after we're gone. Now, the second part of this that I really like is moving the GPA from 2.5 to 2.0. I have attention deficit disorder.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
When you operate on my hands, Mr. Chair, you better be paying attention. That's what he does for a living. Anyway, school has always been a struggle for me. Reading a book to this day is somewhat of a struggle for me. But I keep after it, the people in this committee have heard me say this before. Terry Redland thought it was hilarious that they named a school for him in Sioux Falls because he wasn't a very good student. He admitted it. His mind was elsewhere. In fact, his nickname when he was going to school was Windows Redland because he was always looking out the window. And aren't we grateful that he was always looking out the window? And I assume that he probably had somewhat of a learning, not a disorder, but something along the lines that I had, although I'd never equate myself with a Terry Redland. You know, some of the greatest movers and shakers I've ever met in my life were hovering around that 2.0. Extremely successful. But their passions were in other places. And we know what a degree means for the rest of your life. It's a key. It opens up a lot of doors. And a lot of the young people that are going to be eligible for the scholarship, they need as many keys as possible. Because we all know that education is what takes you places, moves you from one part to the other part. So I could go on and on and share stories about the two-pointers that I've met in my life. We got a passel of them out there, and they're doing great things. And I've always believed this, is that, you know, I came out of a university environment and was there many years, and we reward the great students. We do. I would imagine many of you, what is it called, the coyote? What's the equivalent to the jackrabbit guarantee? The coyote what?
Commitment.
Coyote commitment. I'm sure some of you are on that coyote commitment. But we constantly reward the brightest. And that's a good thing. But a lot of times you go to those ceremonies when and the brightest get one award stacked on another, stacked on another, stacked on another. And wow, must be nice to go to school like that. But a lot of the people that need it the most are the triers. And they don't get the scholarships because there's no scholarship for a trier. And so that's what I love about the Freedom Scholarship, because it gives you freedom. So I'm really, really pleased that going from the 2.5 to the 2.0, and because a lot of people need all the help they can get, and this is just a great addition to the whole concept. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Smith. Any other comments on Senator Smith's motion that 154 do receive favorable consideration this morning? No? If not, the question before the committee this morning is Senator Smith's do-pass motion on Senate Bill 154, an act to revise criteria for the South Dakota Freedom Scholarship. All those in favor will signify by calling out aye, yes, or yay. Those opposed, no or nay. Doug, if you would record our votes for history, please.
Senator Boland.
Aye.
Heinert, excused. Smith.
Aye.
Steinauer.
Aye.
Tobin, excused. Shane Fish.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have five ayes.
That's five unanimous, and without objection, I will put that on our consent calendar, unless someone would really like to speak about it on the floor. Senator Breitling?
I'm happy with consent.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. So we have an hour and 30 minutes left. Any other business for the committee this morning or anything anyone wants to chat about? We have, what's our bill log look like for next week, Anna? Just one, or we got just some other business? Two? Three? So,
we did
154.
So just two. So probably next Tuesday we'll have two bills, 167, clarify the certification process for teachers and school administrators, and House Bill 1185, permit the wearing of a beaded graduation cap at a school honoring or graduation ceremony. Those two things next week. So, there being no further business for Senate Education this morning, we will entertain motion to cut bait. Senator Smith moves and Senator Boland seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Committee is adjourned. Thank you.